The Obama Middle East foreign policy lens is focused on one issue at the moment, the defeat of ISIS. In pursuing this goal, the Obama team is seeking allies, including former enemies such as Iran, notwithstanding claims to the contrary. While the United States now sees Iran as a potential stabilizing force in Iraq and Syria, Tehran is chafing at what it considers the tough negotiating stance of the U.S. on its nuclear program. No one at the moment on either side of the negotiating table has specifically referred to linkage, but the firm position of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is a sign Iran believes it has newfound leverage over Washington. A White House spokesman contends the United States will not be in a position of trading aspects of Iran's nuclear program to secure commitments to take on ISIS. Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, the UAE have vowed to assist the United States in the effort to destroy ISIS, but they are reluctant to use Iran as an instrument for doing so. The fear is that a stronger Iran, one with nuclear weapons, becomes an imperial threat to the region. As Secretary of State John Kerry underscores the importance of Iran's role in the war against the Islamic State, Sunni leaders shudder. Establishing a balance between a harnessed nuclear program in Iran and an Iranian army deployed as a regional balance wheel is a proposition emerging from the evolution of recent events. Already, Iranian officials are calling the U.S. negotiating position unreasonable. Iran's foreign minister, Mr. Zarif, said, "What do they, the United States, want? Iran has been the first that came to the aid of the Iraqis in dealing with that problem. The problem, obviously, is the problem of ISIS. What the Iranians cleverly avoid is a sectarian divide in the Middle East, with Iraq, Syria, and Iran united as a powerful bloc of Shia-dominated governments. It poses a threat to their Sunni counterparts. In fact, the Sunni states accuse Baghdad of fueling the rise of ISIS by marginalizing Iraq's minority Sunni population, a stance adopted by the former Maliki government." Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu maintained that the nations of the world should not ignore the threat of Iranian nuclear weapons, even if some officials are saying that world powers should go easy on Iran's nuclear program so it will fight ISIS. This Netanyahu stance is consistent with the position of most European leaders. However, the rise of ISIS and the barbaric beheadings that have distracted policy analysts across the globe. The strategy, if there is one, is to put each of the Muslim threats in a silo, as if one is different from the other. Admittedly, tactics do vary at the margin, but goals are extraordinarily similar. Whether it is ISIS or Khorasan or Al-Qaeda or Muslim Brotherhood, the end game is a caliphate employing violence to achieve that point. As the United States stands as a Western superpower capable of thwarting that goal, it is the great Satan. Despite all of the carping about former Vice President Cheney's comment that we must clean out the swamp in the Middle East, he is right, and his views express a real strategy, one clearly avoided by the Obama administration. The question that President Obama will not ask is, why do Muslim radicals want to harm the U.S., and what can we do to preempt their destructive impulse? An unwillingness to fight is certainly not the answer, nor is conciliations at the negotiating table or a reliance on surrogates to fight this war for us. This is a struggle for survival of our civilization. Dropping bombs from 30,000 feet may scare and degrade our enemies, but it won't win this civilizational war. The message we deliver to the Iranians in Vienna is telling. If we concede on nuclear weapons rollback so the Iranians do our bidding on the battlefield, we may degrade ISIS, but it will be significant loss in the global war on which we are engaged.